This is Avalanche, written by Western Red Cedar, and recorded by Tipsy Kitty. When his brain decides to fire on for a millisecond of lucidity, Edward thinks that he really should have expected this. If he's honest, this is exactly what he wanted from the moment he followed Steed back to the cabin in the first place. Hell, this is what he's wanted for fucking ever, and fuck taking it slow. Comforting Steed after what happened with Lowe is just a flimsy excuse. Well, not that flimsy, really, since killing someone is a damn mindfuck, so that part was totally real. The shit tonight was intense, and if anyone would know, he would, because... And then Steed is kissing him again. Kissing him with his entire goddamn being. And fuck it, but even Edward's noisy-ass brain can't stand up to that onslaught. The thing is, Steed Bonnet kisses like he's drowning. And if he's drowning, Edward's not going to let him go down alone. His asshole brain can go right ahead and fuck off. Besides, why bother thinking when he is pressed against the wall of the cabin? Every bit of Steed's solid and hungry self jammed up against him so hard that he feels as if he's being buried in an avalanche. Edward does his best to hang on and give back as good as he's getting, wrapping his arms around the broad expanse of Steed's back, his thick waist, the back of his neck. God, all of him. All fucking parts of him. They're alive and together, despite everything. It's a goddamn miracle. Edward never wants to stop kissing this man. Essentials get the better of him eventually, however. He has to pull away for a moment to inhale a few gulping breaths. Steed doesn't let up for a second, his lips simply dipping down and pressing against the skin of Edward's throat, sloppy and wanting, brushing Edward's long hair out of his way with eager hands. Edward tries to keep up with this new phase of brilliance by tugging Steed's shirt free of his trousers, and getting his hands, oh God, finally, onto the warm skin of Steed's lower back, running his fingers into the soft valley of his spine, digging in. Steed manages to wriggle a demanding leg between Edward's knees so that he can press, if possible, even closer, hip to hip. Steed. Edward's voice is a hushed gasp. Steed's greedy lips have made it all the way onto the sensitive curve where Edward's throat meets his shoulder. The only hint that he's heard Edward speak is a muffled moan. Steed. Edward shifts his hands up onto Steed's shoulders, trying to gain back some semblance of control. Steed. Steed finally looks up, his face flushed and frantic in the firelight, his chest heaving. He swallows hard, awkwardly trying to catch his breath, and it's the most adorable thing Edward has ever seen. Ed? Edward can't stop a tremor from running through his skin, because, fuck, this is love. This is it. If he's not careful, the fucking bottomless pit of joy that is forming in his chest will start leaking out all over the place, and he's going to start laughing or sobbing like an idiot, and then where the fuck will they be? So instead, he brings both of his hands up to cup Steed's cheeks and hold him in place for a moment, trying to claim just a small moment of sanity. Steed, he says again, but this time it sounds a little more like his own voice. Steed's hands run a frenetic path up and down Edward's sides. Yes? Edward realizes he doesn't actually have a clue what he wants to say. Nothing seems good enough. You took an irrevocable step, and I think it was for me. Seems too heavy. Just wanted to check in on you, too trite. And let's just say fuck it and make out is what seems to be happening. Since his traitor brain is no help, all he manages is a breathy and whispered, hey. He leans his forehead softly against Steed's, and again, on an exhale, hey. They stand there together for several deep breaths, foreheads pressed close, just sharing the same air. Edward inhales and tries again. You're okay, though. That had been the whole point of this visit, hadn't it? Steed nods and bites at his lip. Oh, yes, this is just right. That wasn't what he was asking, but shit. Edward hopes his face is able to convey even one tiny fraction of what he's feeling. He leans back in.
Yeah?
A soft smile and nod. Yes. Edward initiates their kiss this time, stepping away from the wall and into the room, pulling Steed along with soft, light presses of their lips that flutter sensation up and down Edward's body. He gets back to work on Steed's shirt, the kisses never stopping, loosening the ties at the front, while Steed's hands grapple at the buckles of Edward's belt and jacket. Edward's bastard of a brain takes advantage for a moment and starts inserting thoughts. This is very fast. You've just been held captive. He's reeling from killing a man. So to shut it up, Edward pulls Steed's shirt tails until they have to break their kiss for the brief moment to wrangle the garment over Steed's head and toss it unceremoniously onto the ground. The distraction works like a fucking charm. Body hair, muscles, so much skin. Steed manages to loosen Edward's jacket and shove it off his shoulders. It falls heavily to the floor, followed shortly thereafter by his belt. So that's all happened. Steed pulls Edward back into a deep, open-mouthed kiss that promises this is still just beginning. The outside world takes a stab at interrupting them, then. The party and the ship and the crew had entirely fallen away from the moment Steed dragged Edward into the cabin. But now, a loud boom erupts from the deck. Steed startles up at it, eyes wide. But Edward holds him steady. He knows the sound of cannon, and that's not even close. His expert ears are vindicated a moment later when a shower of colorful sparks rains down outside the cabin window, illuminating the room in a golden glow. Roach's fireworks. He and Frenchie had helped him pick them out the day before. Distracted for a moment, Edward can hear music, faint but lovely, from the deck. He follows Steed's gaze towards the lights as they drift and fade into the sea. Steed lets out a beautiful little huff of amazement and then looks back at Edward, his face full of something huge. Desire and hope, maybe? Or maybe he just loves fireworks. Hang on a minute, Steed says then, still moving startlingly fast. He leans forward and presses a little kiss on Edward's lips, nothing more than a light touch. But Edward thinks it's the best one yet, because it's so easy, like something they might just do now, all the time. Steed turns, strides across the room half-dressed, and firmly locks the door. This is really happening. In this brief respite from their chaos, Edward loosens his hair and settles himself on the edge of the bed, kicking off his boots, trying to keep his heart rate reasonable. Outside, another firework lights up the night. When he turns back to Steed, he's pulling closed the makeshift curtains Edward had worked so hard to hang this afternoon. Closing out the world. No one else but them. The colorful glow of the fireworks lights up Steed's broad chest, highlighting the shiny new wound on his shoulder. Tonight could have gone so differently, and fuck, that thought sends Edward's mind back into a spiral. He reaches out an unsteady hand. Steed takes it, and lets himself be pulled into the bed nook and straight into another deep kiss, and Edward's moment of panic falls away. They clumsily try to arrange themselves without breaking apart, Steed up on his knees, looming awkwardly over Edward, who slides back against the pillows for some leverage. In their haste, they teeter and knock into each other, and Steed only just avoids kneeing Edward right in the balls. Oh, careful there. Just as another firework explodes in a mass of red sparks beside the ship. Ed! Oh, bugger! Edward bites down on a laugh that threatens to escape, and scoots back on his elbows on the bed out of danger. Steed is kneeling at his side, looking charmingly flustered and mussed and staring at him with big, liquid eyes. I'm good. It's all good, Steed. Steed reaches out a tentative hand and runs it along the loose collar of Edward's shirt, sending fire sparks of feeling straight to Edward's gut. Is it? Edward takes Steed's wandering hand in his own and kisses it, right on the palm, rough with the work that he's had to do to get back here, to him. Steed stares at him, hardly blinking. Ed? Edward gently places Steed's warm hand back on his chest. I'd like to... Edward gets a calming hand into Steed's hair, lets his fingers tangle in the curls. What? Steed's face settles into a steely resolve that Edward has only seen him use a few times in their acquaintance. I would like very much to take all of your clothes off now. The formality of it almost does Edward in. His captain's voice. He tries to keep breathing. Not planning to stop you, mate, he replies. Edward can see the pulse of Steed's jaw in the brief moments before he's smothered back against the pillows in another frenzied rush of deep kisses. It's not a long barrage, though, because Steed sits back on his heels after a moment, and with agonizing deliberation slides his hands under Edward's thin shirt. Edward wriggles up a bit so he can assist by sitting up and lifting his arms so that Steed can ease his shirt over his head and off. When he's finished, Steed just stares at him in the dim light. Another golden firework lights up the night as Steed reaches out a hand and runs it, palm flat, against Edward's skin, across his chest and down his belly, over his art and his wounds, lingering to explore the patterns of his scars, the little mountain range of marks on his left side where he's let himself be run through, where Steed has run him through. Fuck. Edward leans back again onto his elbows and allows Steed to explore, an agonizing torture far more effective than anything that idiot Lo had been able to achieve. His eyes flutter closed and his head falls back for a moment to just take it all in. Steed's wandering fingers make their way to the buttons on his breeches, and with rather a lot of determination, he starts to work them open. Edward opens his eyes so that he can watch, his whole body on fire with it. The thing is, Edward's almost never had sex with anyone naked. His usual routine with his hookups has always been a more crass, rollicksome, breeches around the ankles kind of affair. He takes his clothes off to bathe, dress, swim, just practical shit. When he tries to think of a time when he's been intentionally undressed by someone, his mind draws a complete blank, which makes it almost too much to bear when Steed eases the leather, stiff and difficult, off his hips. Steed's seen him without his clothes before. Hell, the first day they met they stripped down to their skivvies and exchanged outfits. But now Edward's dick is right there, hot and thick against his belly. He can feel both of them needing to take a moment to readjust to this inescapable evidence of what they're embarking on together. To shake off the overwhelm he's feeling, Ed maneuvers himself out from under Steed's gaze and makes to stand up, his voice shaky. Think I'm gonna have to help you with this bit, man. Leather's a bitch. The fact that Steed, who always has something to say, doesn't reply, only makes Edward more aware of the density of anticipation in the air around them, a thick soup. He hops up, keeping his back to Steed in a weird fit of modesty, and works his breeches off so that he's completely bare. When he turns back around towards the bed, Steed is in the midst of wriggling around removing his own trousers, awkwardly tangled in the bed sheets. Ed bites his lip to keep from giggling, despite the sudden flush of heat seeing Steed's body sense through his throat and cheeks. Need some help there? Steed looks over at him despairingly. Want you? Edward crawls onto the end of the bed by Steed's feet and tugs at his tangled trousers, eventually getting both legs free. Steed lets out an exasperated sigh that makes Edward huff out a little laugh. Their eyes meet and Steed smiles at him. He's laid bare across the rumpled bed. Edward thinks he might actually combust. The man is too fucking gorgeous, sturdy and substantial, legs like tree trunks, solid and shapely, beautiful dick, flushed and hard, nestled in a patch of thick blonde hair that Edward wants to lean down and rub his nose into, wants to rub his fucking face all over. Without meaning to, he lets out a breathy, fuck. Steed's expression grows serious again, and he reaches out a hand that Edward gratefully grabs onto. Tonight, Edward had thought maybe they'd dance together, kiss some more, talk long into the night like they always used to. But But then mortality had fucking crashed the party and sent them reeling into each other. And now here they are. As if to punctuate the moment, another firework lights up the night. Steed squeezes his hand. Ed, love, you okay? Jesus, who the hell is Edward kidding? Yeah, shit, so fucking okay. Steed beams at him then, a delighted smile that lights up every part of his face. Edward feels his own wild joy start to bubble up again in his chest like a spring. Steed gives his hand a gentle tug, and it's all the invitation Edward needs. He presses forward onto the broad expanse of Steed's body, tangling his hand back into Steed's hair, leaning in for a deep and lingering kiss. What Edward isn't ready for is the feel of their skin against each other, leg to leg, chest to chest, belly to belly, dick to dick. It's so much sensation that after a moment Edward has to fall still, Steed pressed solidly beneath him. Steed slackens his lips from their kiss to breathe out a little, "Oh my God," against Edward's cheek, so Edward knows he's feeling it too. It's almost too much. Edward tucks his face in against the curve of Steed's throat, letting his full weight settle onto Steed's body, their breaths matching, chests rising and falling together, every nerve in Edward's body firing pure feeling, time suspended. He can't see Steed's face, but he can hear the little sounds he's making as he breathes. After a minute, or an hour, Steed lets go of Edward's hand and brings his arms up to encircle Edward's back. Edward takes that as a cue to roll them to the side and tangle his legs into Steed's, digging his hands into Steed's hair and kissing Steed's mouth with every ounce of his being. Edward loses track of time again after that, wrapped up in Steed's body, gently shifting and rubbing against him, and kissing for fucking ever, as if the goal is simply to keep as close to each other as possible, no space between them, hanging onto the edge of the best fucking feeling in the world for as long as possible without crashing over the brink. It's Steed who breaks them apart eventually, cheeks flushed, and gets a solid hand onto Edward's cheek. "Ed, I need, Edward tries to catch his breath. Steed's leg is between his thighs, slowly shifting and thrusting in a way that's making it really fucking hard to be coherent. "Yeah. I'm not sure. What?" It occurs to Edward that he really doesn't know the totality of Steed's experience with sex, aside from knowing he was married and has a couple of kids. He has some guesses, but they've never shared more than that. So as new as this all feels to him, there's something revealing in Steed's stumbling words that makes Edward's heart warm. "I got you, mate," he says, leaning back enough to create a space between their sweaty bodies, freeing Steed's gorgeous dick from between them. Steed follows his gaze in wonder. Edward spits in his hand. A little moue of distaste passes across Steed's face when he does. Fuck, Edward loves this man. And then reaches down between them to take Steed's dick in hand and give him a firm stroke. Steed's whole body freezes, his eyes fall closed, and he lets out the most sinful fucking moan Edward has ever heard in his life. "Jesus." Edward swallows hard and strokes him again. At that sensation, Steed opens up a bit more, head thrown back, mouth agape, and eyes still closed. Edward stays pressed up against his side, mouthing at his cheek and neck and shoulder while his arm falls into a rhythm that Steed echoes with wicked little thrusts of his hips and soft, debauched sounds that make Edward's cheeks grow even hotter. He's so turned on himself. He finds himself rubbing his dick against the side of Steed's hip, falling into rhythm with him. Another firework lights up the cabin. Steed's eyes fly open, and he stares up at Edward in a panic, his hand reaching up to cup Edward's cheek. "Ed, you must..." Edward grabs Steed's hand, and not breaking eye contact, he brings Steed's hand to his mouth and licks Steed's palm all the way to his fingertips. Steed stares at him with eyes wide. You don't have to. I'm fucking good either way. Steed looks at his moist hand and gets that steely-eyed expression back on his face. Fuck. Edward isn't quite prepared for the intensity of Steed shoving his shoulder hard enough that he ends up sprawled on his back, or Steed crouching over him, or for Steed wrapping his hot hand around his dick to start in on him at the same pace that Edward's trying to reestablish for Steed while also being laid into on the tangled bedsheets. Steed leans down and starts kissing him again, wide and wet and hungry, and they're working each other's dicks with the ferocity that Edward knows means they're heading off the cliff together. No looking back. Whether it's the intensity of the night, the perfect way Steed's using his damn thumb, or the fucking months of wanting, Edward comes first, unable to hold himself back anymore. Pure, untempered joy ricocheting through his body from toes to fingertips, and pouring out onto his belly and Steed's fist and into the universe. Through his aftershocks, he does his best to keep pace for Steed, who is still hovering over him, one knee slotted between Edward's legs and his hand on Edward's softening dick. In the end, Edward's damn thankful he's already spent, because he salvages just enough sanity to take in all of Steed's expressions as he topples over the edge, open and vulnerable and sexy as hell. Sweaty curls on his brow and his breath coming in little pants as his whole body shudders and releases, warm and wet, onto Edward's skin. Fucking hell, that's the good shit. Edward lets his exhausted arm fall back against the cool bedclothes, and his whole body sink into the mattress. Steed collapses in a hot, sticky pile onto Edward's side, chest heaving, arm and leg thrown across him like he's never planning to get up again. They lie like that for several minutes, breathing hard. A few more fireworks illuminate the nook. Edward becomes dimly aware again of the sounds of the party on deck, voices and shouts and music. Steed sighs against his skin, his head nestled in the hollow of Edward's shoulder, snuggled close. Edward is overcome for a moment with the most intense feeling of tenderness he's ever experienced. He cranes up just enough to drop a soft kiss onto the top of Steed's head. Steed shifts enough to look at him, and then lean up into a few little gentle kisses, closed-mouthed and sweet. Steed's expression is so blissful that all Edward can hope is that his own resolve is mirrored on his face as clearly. Fuck all that has gone before. He needs Steed to know this is it for him. It's Steed who speaks first, though. "I get it now," he says into the quiet, bringing one hand up and tucking a stray lock of hair behind Edward's ear. Edward shifts a little so he can see Steed's face properly. This man. What do you get? Steed doesn't say anything right away. He rearranges himself a little against Edward's side, drawing back just enough that Edward can see him easily without having to strain. Steed's leg remains draped over Edward's thigh, and his hand moves in peaceful little circles on Edward's chest. Then he clears his throat and says the last thing Edward would ever imagine he would say. "Remember when I went home to, Mary?" Edward feels his entire body fall still and calm. "Remember?" Is all he can manage to utter in reply. He's glad Steed has him effectively trapped on the bed, or he might need to knock something over. Luckily, Steed doesn't leave him hanging for long. "Well, we didn't. I don't think we even so much as brushed shoulders the entire time I was home." Edward lets out a breath, his rush of dread easing away. He brings his hand up to rest on top of the one Steed is still gently moving on his chest.
"Oh, yeah?"
Edward replies, hoping his voice sounds steady. Steed turns his hand so he can lace their fingers together. "I think the only time we even touched was after I told her about you, actually." Edward has to swallow hard. He's not sure he's going to survive whatever this roller coaster of a moment is about.
"You told her about me?"
"I did."
"Oh.
Ed, of course I did," he adds, with a little nudge of his hip. Edward is pretty sure it's fucking ridiculous to blush at a man whose cum is rapidly drying on his belly, but fuck it. So what if he's ridiculous? Steve just laughs and casually continues prying Edward's heart right open. The thing is, while I was away, Mary had, well, she'd made a certain gentleman friend of her own. Edward shifts back and looks at Steed in wonder.
Wait, you went back to your wife. You found out she was fucking some other guy?
Steed frowns and considers for a moment. Well, it sounds worse than it was when you say it like that. Doug is a lovely man, actually.
Steed.
Ed, honestly, I didn't really mind about him, which... Here he pauses and then, with a bemused smile, adds, well, which makes quite a lot of sense now that I consider it. Edward huffs out a laugh at that, and then leans in to pepper Steed's lips with a volley of little kisses. After they settle down again, Steed continues, his voice a little more tentative this time.
I caught the two of them at it once, actually.
Edward's heart breaks a little. Steed leans up on his elbow and puts a hand on Edward's chest, warm and grounding. Ed, they were so into being together. Like this. I'd never felt... It wasn't anything like... Edward gets one hand into the hair at the nape of Steed's neck and pulls him in for a deep kiss. Just enough to cancel out the fact that their first conversation after sex is apparently going to be all about Steed's ex-wife. When they break apart, Steed is looking at Edward in a way that makes Edward willing to do literally anything he asks for the rest of his life. Anyhow, I get it now. A fuss. About all of this. Steed gestures broadly at the bed, the curtains, Edward.
Yeah?
Yeah, I really do. Edward's not sure he's ever tried kissing someone before while also holding in a bout of ecstatic glee, but he tries it now. It's pretty fucking awesome. He wraps Steed up in his arms and manhandles him onto his back so that he can smother him with kisses, their limbs entangled, hands and arms and legs all trying to get as much contact as possible, riled and joyous. Edward pulls back eventually, leaving Steed with a smacking kiss on the lips.
Hey, guess now you're the one fucking some other guy, huh?
Steed beams at him with a cheeky grin.
Gosh, I am, aren't I?
The mood shifts. Edward's skin feels electric. Singing erupts on deck, echoing into the cabin, one of Frenchie's old chanties. They both smile. Edward takes advantage of the moment to hop up and off the bed for a minute.
So, want some water? Rum? I hear the rum is particularly cheap this evening.
Steed rolls onto his side and leans his head on hand.
Can't a gentleman have both?
He asks with a grin. Edward's heart can't take it.
Both coming up.
He pulls the curtain back, and they take a needed few minutes to go about some tidying up, both themselves and the moment. Edward appreciates the chance to breathe a bit. He uses his discarded shirt to wipe himself up, and then grabs the blanket from the bed to drape over himself as he bustles around, trying to locate a couple of glasses to fill. For his part, Steed wraps a sheet around his waist and makes a go of resettling the wrecked bed into something presentable, or at least usable. Edward finds a full pitcher in the ensuite and guzzles some water, and then refills a stray glass he's found. As he makes his way back, he grabs a half-full bottle of rum that's sitting out on a little side table.
Might need to share.
He says in the direction of Steed, trying not to think too hard about all of the lowball glasses at the bottom of the ocean.
Well, sir,
as your tongue was just in my mouth, I suppose we can make do with the single glass. Steed quips, groping around in a little hidden cabinet by the bed that Edward's never noticed before. Edward snorts at that. He trots back to the sleeping nook and slides onto the bed, hands full of drinks. Steed is settling in as well, pulling off his rings and laying them in a neat line along the windowsill, alongside a little stoppered bottle that was certainly not there before.
What's that?
Edward asks, taking a solid swig from the bottle of rum. Even in the dim light, Edward can see that Steed is flushed. His words come out in a rush.
Just a salve I keep by the bed. I use it on myself,
sometimes. Just thinking it might be a step up from you licking my hand.
Edward almost spits out his rum. Apparently the night is not over yet.
Ambitious,
he says in response, once he's got his rum swallowed properly.
No,
Steed says in return, his eyes surprisingly soft. Just prepared.
Oh, hell,
Edward mutters, and he leans in to kiss Steed firmly on the mouth. Steed lifts the now properly arranged sheets so that Edward can slide under, and he can settle in next to him up against the headboard. Steed takes the glass of water from Edward and drains it, clearly just as parched as Edward had been. Edward is still wrapped in the blanket, but he adjusts it around Steed's shoulders too so that they're tucked in together, skin to skin, against the growing night chill. Steed loops a bare leg over Edward's thigh under the covers and gets his free hand onto Edward's arm. Holy shit, the night really is not over yet. They pass the rum bottle back and forth a couple of times before Edward sets it aside, the first hints of the alcohol's comforting warmth making it easier than ever to just turn and kiss Steed on the jaw. Steed sighs happily and leans against Edward's shoulder.
Did you ever do any of this with a woman?
He asks. Edward thinks for a moment of all the reasons that Steed might be wondering that, about how much he'd needed to talk about Mary the moment they'd paused for breath.
Yeah, a few. When I was young. Just doing what was expected, I suppose.
Yes, I get that. Steed's voice has a hint of sadness. What did you think? Edward considers for a moment, rubbing his hand along Steed's arm under the covers.
It was all right, I guess. I mean, it did the job. I like this kind of shit way better, though.
The understatement of the century. Steed looks over at him with a little smile.
Yeah, me too.
Edward wraps his arms around Steed's shoulders, and Steed slides down a bit to rest his head against him.
You know, Steed says, his voice hesitant, Calico Jack told me about your dalliances.
Damn it, fucking Jack. The fucking fucker. Edward wants to punch something again.
Shit, Steed, that's not...
He's about to say important, but Edward stops himself. It's obviously important to Steed. He can't mess this up. So he sits up, hauling himself and his crappy knee around to face Steed so he can look him in the eye. Steed sits up as well, his expression suddenly painfully worried. Edward grabs both of his hands and holds them tight.
Listen, I don't want to lie to you. I've had a shit ton of sex in my life. It was kind of my thing for a long time.
Edward can see Steed tensing up, his eyes wide, so he goes on.
But Steed, believe me, I've never done this with anyone.
Steed gives him a quizzical look.
What do you mean?
Edward gazes around the bed nook, trying to help Steed understand.
This, lying here, talking, holding your hand, sleeping by your side, hopefully waking up with you in the morning.
Steed's face is a mess of emotions. Oh, is all he says.
You okay?
Steed takes a deep breath, and Edward holds on for dear life. He can see on Steed's face that whatever he's planning to say next is coming straight from the center of his chest.
You don't think I'm ruined? After what happened tonight?
Fuck. Edward had actually been foolish enough to think that they'd left Ned Lowe behind.
Ned Lowe, the bastard.
Edward remembers his own voice saying,
Don't do it. You can't come back from that.
And the look on Steed's face, that blank terror, when he realized he'd actually done it. Edward reaches out and grapples Steed into his arms, pulling him into a tight hug, right there on the bed in the little cocoon of bedclothes. Steed shudders for a moment in his embrace, but then grabs onto Edward right back and squeezes hard. A voice rings in Edward's head that sounds suspiciously like fucking Hornigold, reminding Edward that it is possible to become a lost cause, unredeemable. But there is a line, and once crossed, there's no coming back. He feels like he's standing on the edge of a cliff, the ocean roiling below him, ready to fall. Edward attempts to step away, shake the ghosts out of his head,
but the word unlovable echoes in his treacherous brain, just as it has, in some form, for decades. Fuck, he doesn't want that for Steed. He doesn't want it for himself, not anymore. Steed's arms around him are real and steady. This is no dream, no nether realm of false choices.
No, you're not fucking ruined, Steed. People don't get ruined like that. That's not how it works.
Steed nuzzles into his shoulder. Do you really believe that? Steed can come back from this. Edward knows he can. And if Steed can, maybe anyone can. Maybe the world isn't the miserable, heartless bitch he's always made it out to be.
Fuck. He's going to try so hard to believe that.
Yeah, man, I do. Steed releases his iron grip after another moment. Edward grabs the rum and offers Steed another swig, then takes one himself. Something in his soul has shifted a half degree to the right, and he needs a moment to let it settle into place. They rest back against the headboard again. Steed lays a warm hand on Edward's chest.
Sorry, I didn't mean to spoil the mood.
Edward shakes his head.
Hey, you didn't.
They lie there for a moment, just breathing. Edward lets his fingers start to brush a little pattern against Steed's chest.
God, he's so fucking in love.
Steed cocks his head to the side, his lips quirking up at the corners.
You know, I have done all that.
Done all what? All the sleeping together and waking up and sharing a bed after sex stuff, he says, looking smug, and Edward is seriously tempted to pinch him.
What, you mean with Mary?
He asks. Steed nods.
With Mary.
But, as you know, we hated each other's guts. Here his voice softens into the sweetest whisper.
So I guess I haven't ever really done any of this before either.
Edward's heart is so fucking full, he almost says it then. The three little words sit on his tongue, desperate to be out. But before he gets up the nerve, Steed leans in, brushing their noses together, and closes the distance between them. The kiss starts soft, but then doesn't let up, deepening and opening until Edward can't stand it and has to lean into the wild solidity of Steed's body, trying to get his hands onto every part of Steed that he can.
Holy fuck, this man.
They break apart for a few breaths, panting, forehead to forehead. Steed wraps him up again in his arms, and Edward hugs him close. The night has grown darker and still. No more fireworks. The party, if it's still going, has quieted. Somewhere off the port side, Ned Lowe is food for fishes. Steed Bonnet is in Edward's arms. And maybe, just maybe, neither of them are ruined.
You tired? Edward asks.
Steed shakes his head.
With you here, I'm not sure I'm ever sleeping again, actually.
Edward laughs and brushes a hand through Steed's wild curls. He shakes off the bleakness of the last few minutes and looks into the eyes of this madman he's in love with.
Okay, so I have an idea. I don't want to make any assumptions, but based on what you said, you've probably never done what I have in mind.
Steed side-eyes him with a sort of befuddled and knowing look.
Is it more sex?
In reply, Edward grabs the little bottle of sal from the windowsill and drips some onto his hand. Then he wiggles his eyebrows and throws the sheet over his head to start a purposeful and determined trail of kisses down Steed's chest and onto his belly.
Ed, what are you doing, you nut?
Edward stops to blow a juicy raspberry on the soft skin of Steed's belly. Steed shouts out a startled gasp and writhes around a bit.
Edward, that's not fair! You want me to stop?
Edward asks against Steed's belly, blowing a second raspberry right at the soft juncture where Steed's hip meets his leg, getting his fingers into it too, probing for sensitive spots along Steed's waist with his slippery, tickling fingers.
Surrender.
Gah! Steed laughs and tries to roll himself into a protective ball.
What? No, Ed! The gentleman pirate will never surrender to mere tickling. Did you think I've never been tickled before?
Ah! Sorry, love, but that is something I'm already quite familiar with. Before Steed can finish his thought, Edward slides down Steed's body just enough to take his dick, already mildly aroused by the proceedings, in one nice slippery hand and pull the tip into his mouth. Steed yelps, and his whole body twitches. Edward's lucky to not get a knee to the jaw, which makes him actually laugh out loud.
"Lord, what is that?" Steed asks in a shrill tone from above the covers.
Edward stops and lifts the sheet over his head. Steed is just as he'd imagined him. Throat and ears a stunning red, eyes huge.
"That was my mouth on your dick, man. Do you like it? 'Cause I really, really like doing it. It's like one of my top 5 favorite things."
Edward tilts his head and rests his chin gently on Steed's ribcage, right over his heart. With his other hand, he rubs teasing, sticky circles on the soft skin of Steed's lower belly. Steed groans and swallows.
"You like doing that?"
he asks, so deeply sincere. They are alive and together despite everything, despite separations and agonies, wives and dalliances, traps and murderers and the entire damn British Navy, despite bad timing and worse luck, despite struggling to believe that it's possible to come back from the darkness and still be loved. Edward raises an eyebrow. "Want me to show you how much?" The end.
I'm not together and you know it's true. My bits all wander in the trees. And if I ever seem a little strange, would you excuse me?